But since then, my unease about entitlement has only grown. My unease and my discomfort in my whole feeling about the definition of entitlement. But I haven't really been able to say anything rigorous or anything mathematical about the question of why it's so much disturbing. And so the goal of my talk today would be to actually say something somewhat rigorous that basically will manage to somehow pinpoint or demonstrate the problems that I see in definitions of entitlement, and more accurately, mixed state entitlement. Okay, so let's start with something which we all, I think, know, which is pure state entitlement. Pure state entitlement is something that we all love, and it begins very nicely. So let's just go through the things that we all know. So, so first of all, entitlement is pure state. First of all, we have to say, quantitatively, what is it mean? So what are the entitlement states? We all know that we say that the state is not entitled or separable if it's a tensor quantity. We're talking about bipartite states. This is non-entitled state, and anything else is entitled. So we call a set of separable states S. Yes. Okay, so this is a very nice definition, and it captures so anything that's non-entitled for us seems to have something quantum in it. And there is a way to quantify this, and this is done by what's called the entitlement formation, which is, okay, so we want a quantity that will basically say that that non-entitled states have zero of it, and entitled states will have non-zero of it. And the definition will be entitlement information of a pure state is basically the phenomenal entropy of the reduced density matrix of the state to one part of the system. So why is this a good quantity? It's a good quantity because it behaves like what we think entitlement quantity should behave. It's it doesn't grow by LOCC, local operations, classical communication, and it's zero on non-entangled state, non-zero on entangled states. So it also behaves nicely in the sense that it's additive. So entanglement of formation of two independent systems, pure states, is just a subgroup. Why do we like the fact that it's additive? Because it allows us to treat it as a resource, a quantum resource. And for us, it's a resource that is, so we measure this resource in units, which are evens. So an EPR pair, we think of an EPR pair as a unit of entanglement. And its entanglement is exactly one, and it's a very nice unit of entanglement. And, now this is a very nice picture. And in fact, it also has, so this is one definition of entanglement, one can think of other definitions of entanglement, which are more operational. So there is the notion of entanglement cost, which is basically how many entanglement units one needs in order to generate density or pure state. So that is take as a thought. What you do is you ask how many EPR pairs you need in order to generate tensor products of your pure state n times. So if n is the number of EPR pairs, n is the number of states generated, look at the limit of the ratio m over n as the number of systems you're generating tends to infinity. The details don't matter for the stock. And And that is basically the entitlement cost. How many EPR permits you need. And the same way you can go in the other direction. How many EPR permits you can distill by LOCC from many systems. Okay, so you get kind of a cost and the time of this connection. These are, let's see, so. Measures, operations measures. And what's nice about it is that it turned out that all these measures, and any measure that you can think about of entanglement of pure states, is the same. It coincides with this, the energy of entanglement. So the picture here is really very nice. And even if we go to too many particles, it also contains very nice. So we expect, for example, that if the state, if we have a quantum system evolving in only in pure states which are non-entangled, then we expect to see no quantum correlations. And indeed, that this is what we see, right? Because there is a classical simulation, efficient classical simulation of non-entangled quantum. Okay, so everything behaves very nicely in the pure state picture. So now let's go to the main state picture. So now we're getting into more interesting stuff. So the mixed state picture. Let's first start with the qualitative fix, not the quantitative. So in the mixed state picture, what do we say about entanglement? We say, okay, so let's consider a mixture with probability pi to be the state alpha I. So forgive me if I'm going to bore you in the first 5 minutes. I want to lay down the things that we know because I'm going to relate to them later. Very simple. So, okay, so we have a mixture of a probability distribution over pure space. And it's very natural to say that it's non-entangled if all the states of the mixture are non-entangled. Okay? So the mixture of non-entangled states is separable. Now, there is this minor point, which is that the density matrix has various different mixtures that it realizes. And it's possible that some of the states will have, one mixture will be composed of, will consist of entangled states, and one mixture will consist of completely non-entangled states. For example, states, the mixture, this with probability half and this with probability half is obviously a mixture of non-entangled states, but it's the same mixture as the same density matrix as this. Which is a mixture of entangled states. Okay, so what do? We say that the density matrix is non-entangled if there exists a mixture of states, which are all non-entangled. Okay? So that's a qualitative thing. This is our set of separable states. And now quantitative thing, how do we generalize this definition? Well, okay, so so it's very natural to talk about the average of the entanglement of the states that appear in the mixture. So if you have a density matrix, which is an average of density matrices of pure states, then we say that the entanglement is just the average entanglement of the pure states. But again, we bump into the same problem, that this average may depend on the mixture, right? So once again, We solve this by basically taking an existence approach. So if there exists, well, basically, take the minimum over all possible realizations of the state. Okay, so the entanglement of formation would be the minimum over all possible Pi's alpha I's of G of I zero, so of the average of Pi, the entanglement in rho I. So these are pure states. These are pure. Okay, so this is this looks like a natural definition. And I remind you, it was suggested in 1996 by Ben et al. And it was suggested in the context of communication complexity. So I'll go back to this point later. Okay, and now we already see. We already bumped into some problems. So first of all, this quantity is extremely hard to compute. And not only that this quantity is extremely hard to compute, it's extremely hard to say whether a state is entangled or not, whether a state has any entanglement in it or not. So what do I mean by extremely hard? It's NP-hard. So if the set of separable states, which happens to be convex, is this set, then it's NP-hard, it's a result by Horowitz from several years ago, to decide whether a given bipartite state of n dimensions on this side, n dimensions on this side, belongs to this set or is outside of the set. But it's even NP-hard to decide whether it's, even if you give up the boundaries, if you don't care, like, obviously on boundaries, it's going to be very hard to decide. So even if you don't care about boundaries, it's NP-hard. Okay? So what I mean by NP-hard, it's at least as hard as solving NP problems. So it's a very hard problem. So this should already raise some eyebrows, because we have something which we want to treat as a quantum, as a physical resource, and we're not even able to say if it exists or not in a quantum system, which is a very small size. It's NP hard, so it's exponentially difficult to decide if it exists or not, approximately. Okay, so this is already a problem. And then, if we want to treat this as a quantum resource, there comes another problem, which is probably you're all aware of, which is the additivity of a entanglement of formation. So unlike in the case of pure state entanglement, where we know that when we take two independent systems and put them together, that the physical resources just add up, the entanglement just adds up, here, this is not known. It's not known whether entanglement of formation of rho depends on n is n of length of rho. It's a big open question. Okay, so this is problematic, but let's put it aside for a moment and let's recall that in the past, I don't know how many years, if you look up over Google the word entanglement, I think it's a few hundreds of thousands, but I'm not sure. It's big. And people have been trying to find out sort of other definitions and the make states. So other possible definitions of entanglement and make states are generalizations of this entanglement cost and entanglement distillation. So EC and ED can be generalized to in a natural way to make state environment. And so this can be done, can be well defined, it's well defined. But there are even more problems arise from the problem that I talked about before. So one gets this fact that entanglement distillation is smaller or equal to entanglement cost, which makes sense. What you put into it is at least as much as we can get out of it. And this is smaller than a time of information. And this is flowing, by the way, to the people. But then the weird thing is that here, there is sometimes inequality. And moreover, this is called bounding entanglement. It's a very weird phenomenon. It means that there are states that have zero entanglement distillation, so no entanglement can be extracted from them, but they need entanglement. So that already, again, puts another issue in front of us, which is that we don't know qualitatively what are the sets, what is the set that we're talking about? What is the set of entangled versus non-entangled states? So if we use the definition of distillable entanglement, then it's a different set than entangled information, or entangled thoughts. Okay, so... So this is not such a nice picture as the case for the pure state. And let me put the last nail sort of in this, well, to me a very severe question, a very severe issue about this definition that shows how much we don't understand about it, is that we don't know how to answer the equivalent question is this question. Does there exist an efficient classification of non-entangled quantification when the computation is done in big states? So imagine a physical system, dynamics of a physical system evolving with no entanglement whatsoever, and we just want to understand if there is a classical simulation in it, yes or no. And we don't know how to answer this question, I'll say more why. But this points to us as the fact that we don't understand this resource at all. So not only quantitatively, but quantitatively, we don't understand this resource, because we have a system in which there is no quantum entanglement, and we are promised that this is the case. And yet, so we think of it as if there are no classical correlations at all. The system should behave as if it's not quantum but classical, but we don't know how to simulate. So let me pose this as a very well-known question, which is, can we simulate? This is a question, I think, 7 years old, or I don't know. Right, can you say how old this question is? Can we simulate quantum communication with no entanglement? Can we simulate quantum
communication? I know when I encountered that question, but I don't know if somebody asked it before.
Yeah, okay, I know we started to investigate it 7 years ago. And anyway, this question comes up, can we simulate quantum communication with no entanglement?
Can you be more precise?
I'll just say that this question comes up in the context of NMR computation. Because in NMR computation, there is this worry that basically, if this is a set of density matrices, it's complex, and this is a set of separable density matrices, the worry is that the experiment will stay in this set all the time. And the question is, does it do anything interesting, even though it's in this separable set? So let me be more specific. Imagine an input quantum state, the density matrix, and we apply that only unitary computations. But imagine that we are promised that throughout the computation, the state is always separable. Okay, so the input, we have an input separable state.
What's the size of the description?
It's an input separable state of n qubits, say, described by some sample probability distribution over basis states.
Okay, so
this is given to you by some classical algorithm. And then this is row zero. And then you're given the evolution, and you're promised that throughout the computation, all the states are separable. So for all the states, there exists a mixture that realizes them, that consists of non-entangled states, pure states. Okay, and we would expect that such a state, that such an evolution would be possible to simulate, because it just goes through several states, and we don't know how to submit that. I mean, and I think.
So what should the final answer look like?
The final answer should be similar like that means being able to sample from the other distribution.
So like measuring on a computational basis?
Measuring on a computational basis and sampling, approximate the sample from the other distribution. Or even approximate the sample 1 qubit from the example distribution. Yeah.
So if you free, Vidal has a result for pure states, namely if the entanglement with respect to all possible bipartite cuts is only small, bound by a constant or logarithmically increasing the size or whatever, then you can simulate it efficiently classically. So have you, well, I guess since you were thinking about this question for 7 years, have you tried to adapt? Yeah, okay, so you have other things to think about, I suppose, but have you considered adapting this method to mixed states?
Yeah.
And where does it fail?
Let me tell you where it fails. I won't tell where Giffre's methods fail, but I will tell you where the problem lies, and you'll see why any method that will pick up will fail on the face of it. So you'll have to solve some geometrical questions.
Okay, so you're going to do that.
So let me explain to you in 2 minutes why this is difficult. Because that will touch upon something that I'll come back later to. Okay, so why is this difficult? So the thing is, the difficulty lies exactly in the fact that here, when we talked about mixed state entanglement, we talked about existence and minimal existence. So when we talk about the fact that the state is separable, we only say there exists a mixture that realizes it, which is separable. But we don't say which one it is. Okay, so we are conscious that there exists a mixture of this for each one of those. And then the natural thing to do is as follows. So we start with a mixture of states. And so this is pi alpha I zero. And then we pick one of them at random, say, according to the right distribution. And we plot on it ui. And the natural attempt to do that would be to continue applying ui on that state and then measuring at the end. The point is that if we start here with many, many states, each one of them evolves separately and it might evolve to extremely non-entangled states. Extremely entangled states. And the thing is that it is. That whereas this was a decomposition of the first state to separable states, the next decomposition might be completely unrelated. So it might not be the state that we evolved to, but it might be a completely different set of states. And therefore, every time we'll have to sort of compute from scratch the whole set of states, which might be exponential, and then decompose it again. So we'll basically have to carry with us all the information instead of the sampling part. If you haven't managed to really see where the problem lies, I'll just say that the main issue is that the basis is not given to us. And we don't know the basis, and so the global definition depends really strongly on the basis, which might change every time. But basis and mixture. Yeah.
Wait, could that be reformulated by saying that any mixed state can be viewed as pure state in a larger system, and the evolution of that larger system might be very non-trivial?
I don't think that this formulation holds on all the issues. But yes, that's the problem. I mean, it's true that every mixed state can be purified.
Is that doesn't that make the problem look much sort of more successful to treatment, because then you could reduce it to the earlier case for pure states?
No, it is no longer separable. When you purify, nobody nobody promises me that the pure state.
No, no, it can't be. No, it's not that you can be.
Okay, so let me, this is a very, very, okay. If the result of this talk, the solution for Stella, I'm very, very happy. So I'll be very interested.
I think part of the answer is, if it is separable, you can show you can simulate it faster. But if it's not separable, it doesn't mean that you cannot simulate it faster. But if it's not separable, you can still potentially have an efficient classical simulation.
Yeah. Okay, let's put down this discussion. This was a side effect.
If it's separable, you can simulate it faster. So going to the higher number space to verify doesn't help.
Okay, I want to get to the point of my talk, which is this. So I think I managed to sort of convince you that there is some issue, but where is this issue? Where does it lie? Well, this is sort of more vague, very vague, and so I don't like the picture of the mixed state entanglement, but something goes wrong, we don't know how to prove anything, we don't know how to compute these things, by the way. Until a few years ago, there was no mixed state whatsoever for which entanglement cost and entanglement distillation was computed. Wrong, Debbie?
No, but just also to realize there's no reason why we should expect these measures to say anything about the dynamics, because these are...
That's true. So, okay. We'll get to that. So where is the problem? Where is it? So in order to really pinpoint the issues, I want to just extrapolate the problems. And basically, take our definitions, the definitions we work with, and see what are the bizarrest facts that we can get. So what are the most bizarre things that we can see? Okay, and we'll get to three bizarre facts. One of the three bizarre facts. So we'll start with something which is actually, I'm sure most of you have already encountered, which is fact one. So these bizarre facts are supposed to point at things that are they're bizarre in what way? They're bizarre, in fact, in the sense that when you that they contradict your intuition of what we expect for this data thing. Okay. So fact number one is as follows. We want to think of mixed state entanglement as a quantum resource, a physical resource. But it so happens that you can look at a quantum system. It has so and so that much quantity of mixed state entanglement. And then somebody can do something on a different part of the world that has nothing to do with the system and can basically say something. And then this mixed state entanglement will change. The amount of mixed state entanglement in the system will change. So, for example, we have this separable state that we had before. I'm sure this is not new to most of you, but I'll just say it. You have the separable state that we talked about before, which is a uniform superposition of 0, 0, and 1, 1. And this is... Uniform mixture of 0, 0, and 1, 1. And since there are no probabilities in the world has one pure state describing it. We can find a purification of this mixture somewhere in the world. And so this purification will be 0, 0, alpha 0, plus 1, 1, alpha 1. And these are coefficients. Okay, and now imagine somebody, not touching my system, but just going and measuring this extra part of the system in the basis alpha 0 plus alpha 1, alpha 0 minus alpha 1. And suppose the result of alpha 0 plus alpha 1, then the outcome of my system is a double state. Okay? So just by telling me that the outcome was plus, I know that I have one bit of a mixed state of basically pure state. Sorry?
You need to know the rational count to see the memories.
I know. So the weird thing about it is that by telling me something about something that happened completely elsewhere, I got something in my system changed. If I want to refer to this quantity as a physical resource, this is somewhat weird. Now, it's not that weird, because it can also happen in classical systems, right? So if we have a classical thermodynamical or statistical physical system, and it's in some given distribution, and its energy is the average energy over all possible configurations, and then somebody comes to me and tells me, look, I heard this state actually, and something, and there's some constraint, then this changes my energy, right? I claim that there is a difference between the two things. And the difference is, in fact, so this is sort of subtle and maybe philosophical. The difference is in the fact that in the classical system, there was actually, the statement that the system is in some probability in that state is meaningful. Whereas in the classical system, this statement, that the system is in some probability in this pure state, is meaningless. Let me say that again. I have a density matrix. There is no meaning in actually saying that the state of the system is in some probability in that particular pure state. Because with the same logic, I could have said that it's in some probability a completely different state. So there's no meaning to this sort of abusive notation or abusive probability that one might attempt it to do when using the language of density matrices. Okay, so that's one problem which you might want to live with, or you might not like so much, might not be a mathematical problem, but you can take and extrapolate that, and then you get something which looks like a more severe problem, which is fact two. So fact two.
So just so I understand, fact one is that you can purify a mixed state?
I'm sorry?
Fact one is saying that you can purify a mixed state?
No, fact one is that you can start with something with zero mixed state entanglement, and by somebody else acting on the rest of the system, start with zero mixed state, and somebody else acting on some place completely different in the world, on the rest of the world, and telling me something, and saying something, the entanglement changed. Okay, that's the first, which is problematic, even though I don't think. So you might be able to live with that, but. Okay, but if you extrapolate that, you get something much, much weirder. And that is the following thing. So fact two. Is the following. So experimentalists think of quantum computers as basically classical devices. Moving quantum devices. Where here there is some control mechanism. Now, what I claim is that, so fact two is that universal quantum computation can be performed. Part of the system being having zero mixed state entanglement from two. Okay, so you can run universal quantification. with class of computer controlling the quantum computer. So the quantum computer is completely unattached. I don't know how many people in the audience now that you see this fact know how to prove it.
So it's like Debbie's stuff.
Right. It's yeah. So actually, technically, this is sort of the techniques to prove it are known for a long time, but I don't think this was observed ever in the context of entanglement. So how did we prove that? Well, before I prove that, let's just see what it would entail. It tells us that basically, why is it bizarre? It's bizarre because it contradicts the intuition that we have a classical computer, that is some IBM computer, some laptop controlling the experimental device. And we don't need the experimental device to have any entanglement in it. To perform universal quantum computation, there's no resource of what we actually think is the necessary resource for quantum computation that exists there, according to our definitions. Okay? I'm just extrapolating our definitions. And that's sort of very weird. And should say something about the fact that our definitions probably don't capture our intuition. They don't measure what we actually want to measure. So let's prove this fact. Okay. So how do we prove this fact? So basically, the proof is pretty simple. It appears in various. It's sort of hidden in these various papers, also in Benoit's paper. Okay, let me show you a very simple version of it. but again, not the statement, just the technique. So how would you prove such a thing? The idea is simply. To use the following claim, that if you take a quantum state, any quantum state, entangled as you want, might want, and you find that in random locations, random facelifts, then what you get is basically a non-entangled state, which is a mixture of basis states. Okay? And so, put formally, the claim is this, that the following, for any quantum state, alpha, and qubits, the following mixture, in which you take with uniform probability, a string S, n bits, and you apply facelifts only in the points, this will be my notation, only in the points where this string is 1, on alpha, this thing is not intact. This thing is a mixture of basis states. Okay, do I need to prove this? Or is this sort of known? Okay, I'll prove it.
To me.
Okay. So why is that? Well, the reason for this is simply that that basically the effect of applying, so on each qubit here, what happened is that we apply identity with probability half and z with probability half, where z is 1 minus 1. And so basically this follows from the fact that the effect of applying z with probability half and identity with probability half is exactly equivalent to the effect of applying a measurement and not reading the result. And let's do it for just one qubit. It's a, say, a zero, so let's do. Sorry, let's start with the measurement. So A0 plus B1, the density matrix of this is A0, A, B, A, B, B0. Now, this, by measurement, goes to a density matrix in which these are erased, the off-diagonal terms are erased. And on the other hand, so this goes to this. And on the other hand, by the Rossi half applied everything, the Rossi half applied Z, this goes to the same density matrix plus the same density matrix with the minus sign. And so they cancel, and that goes to. So it's half times A squared A B A. No? A squared. Plus half times B vector Z, which is simply a minus sign. Minus A B minus this. And so when you add up, the other terms cancel out, and the effect is the same. Okay? Okay, now moreover, if we only apply, if we only take a random string S to work only on n minus 1 instead of all the n bits, it's still true. Because the effect would be as if we measured n minus 1 of the bits, and that's the same as if, I mean, that obviously results in a non-entangled state. Right? So what would be the proof? The proof is very simple. It's just basically the classical computer here will be a randomized computer. And it will toss, in the beginning with the computation, it will toss a random string, yes. And then the input to the quantum computer will be some classical basis state. Then this classical computer basically dresses this state by these random operations. I don't look at the classical computer, so in my view, this is a random designation of all possible cases. And then all I have to show you is how we maintain this dressing during the computation. So this is sort of, it's a very simple and easy thing to do. One way to do that is to remember that Hadamard entropy is a universal set of gates. So any quantum computation can be performed with Hadamard entropy. So all I have to show to you is how I maintain this dressing. So I have this bare state that I'm supposed to sort of evolve, alpha 0 up to alpha t. And then there are these address states, beta 0 up to beta t. And I'm supposed to show you how we move from beta I plus 1 without undressing the state. And the trick will be, okay, to do that through Hadamard, this is easy because Hadamard works only on one qubit. So I undress the relevant qubit, which still gives me a non-entangled mixture by this observation that I've undressed just one qubit, so we have n minus one qubits that are addressed. And then, yeah? I don't know if I'm running too fast. So after this undressing one qubit, I have still an unentangled state, I apply Hadamard, and I address again the qubit by the state n. Or the same relevant coordinate with this. So Hadamard is easy. And Topoli is also easy because basically a Topoli commutes with two Zs. So I have to basically undress three qubits if I want to apply a Topoli. But in fact, so that's not good because undressing three qubits might lead to a tangent. But in fact, I only have to undress one qubit because the first two controlling qubits in the top 20k commute, find z on them commutes with t, so I don't have to undress it. So that means that I only have to address one qubit even during the application of t. And it's basically, okay, so you get to the correct state, and you see that throughout this operation we encounter zero entanglement during the top 20, it's because we undressed one qubit. And then after the application of the topology, we get to a state which is the correct state undressed by one qubit. So we have dynamics which are completely dressed all the time, except for one of the cubits all the time, and therefore down to the mean. Okay, so that's fact two. And then fact three. Okay, so that's fact two. And fact three is that, so where did the entanglement go? Here, we have a quantum computer that seemed to operate without entanglement. Where does it go? Well, okay, so there is this classical part. There is this quantum part. And then we know that there is no entanglement here. We know that, obviously, this is a classical part, but there is no entanglement here. So where is there any entanglement in the system? Okay, so to see the entanglement, I just have to look at this classical system from the point of view of the quantum, as if it's a quantum system. Okay, so every bit will be replaced by however many quantum particles that it seems to be represented by, and we just talk about the quantum state of this thing, and then we will see entanglement. The entanglement will be, of course, between this part of the system, the controlling classical bits that control this half of the quantum computer, and the rest. Obviously, there is entanglement there because by local operation of classical communication, you can just undress each part of the quantum system by using the recipe for undressing, which is printed in its own side of the system. So you get eventually an entangled state. What is bizarre with this fact? The bizarre thing is that we have a classical system controlling a quantum system, and in order to see entanglement in the entire system, we have to look at the classical system. Let me say it even in a more bizarre way. Suppose I'm an experimentalist, which is really a bizarre thing. I'm an experimentalist, and I'm controlling some physical system, and I'm doing some random decisions. You have no idea what I'm doing. So you look at the system, and in order to understand that there is entanglement in my quantum system, you have to look at me. If you look just at the quantum system, there is no entanglement. But only if you look at me, at my state, you will know that there is entanglement in the overall system. And this is me, the classical system. Okay, the classical system, which it doesn't matter how much I will interact with the universe, how much I will tell other people about my decisions. Nothing matters how much it will be measured. It's still true that you will have to look at me in order to understand the amount of entanglement in the system. So that's, to me, it means that what I think of as classical systems play much more role in the notion of entanglement than I thought before.
Probably the same something. Are you saying that there's entanglement between this classical part and the part of the quantum system?
No, there is no entanglement here.
Right, so what's
the claim? The claim is that, first of all, the first claim is that there is entanglement in the overall thing between this part, this is A, mm-hmm. and this is B. So I call this A.
Oh, I see.
Okay? And this is B. And I'm just claiming that you won't see this entanglement unless you look also at the classical part of the system.
So it comes out of it's fact one when you measure out on your...
I'm sorry?
It's all that like looking at your fact one when you decide to measure out on your...
Yeah, but it's a different way of saying.
But really, you can also have a form of the classical system outside of the picture that would bring the entanglement between the classical and the quantum part. So if you don't look at the purification of the quantum computer, but you have you clone the classical system there and put it on the next
No, we're not crazy.
And there's no, I guess all you're saying is what you already said, there's no containment in the split between the classical system and the quantum system.
Right. There's no entanglement here. But breaking this entanglement, I mean, you will see entanglement somewhere in the system. You're saying if I clone this, I will have to look further in order to see.
Right. So you can potentially have a classical control.
That's actually not true. No, I won't be able to see entanglement even if. So I copy this on the side as many times as I want. There is still entanglement here. Because by LOCC I can reach this quantum state.
Also, this system hasn't changed, right? If you copy the classical system, this system is unchanged.
So let me summarize what I said. So this is sort of three bizarre facts. What do I want to say here? So the question is, what can we learn from these? So we have here sort of things that behave not according to our intuition. And let's see what we learn. So first of all, we learn that there is some problem with this MSC thing, that we don't even understand it quantitatively. So we don't understand it. Whether it's there or not there. So we see some severe problems with this, but I think that the reason for the severe problems arises from the fact that we don't know how to actually interpret the notion of density matrices versus mixtures. So Debbie alluded to that before. When Bennett and I defined the mixed state entanglement, they defined it in the context of quantum communication complexity. And they're asking whether we can realize a density matrix by a certain mixture. It's a very natural question, and there is a meaning to the mixture. There is a density matrix, but there's also a meaning to the actual mixture, because we actually realize it in some way. But in the context of physical systems, there is no meaning to the mixture. When we talk about physical systems that are part of bigger systems, there's just no meaning to the mixture. And trying to say that there is, meaning trying to say that the system is in some probability in this state, I think leads to very severe problems. So that's one point to look at. And then there is another point, which is that which is sort of I think smaller, but still interesting, which is that we never actually define what do we mean by classical quantum systems. So if we're talking about a classical computer controlling quantum computer, where do we draw the line? So if we actually look at the physical system, this thing operates on the Hamiltonian or quantum computer and turn on some noise. Where is the line? Between them. So I think if you want to take one thing of this talk, maybe the thing to take is the question of whether we can actually give some meaning to the notion of mixed state entanglement, where there will be a meaning to the mixture. So, let me end with that. Thanks.
I'm sure there are any questions.
Yeah.
Would you agree, ultimately it's the same problem as that of tripartite entanglement, where you have two systems A and B and look at their entanglement. But then if the system A and B is a mixed state, you can view this as being the whole system in a pure state where you have system C now as well. So you have entanglement between A and B, A and C, and B and C. And it's just impossible to just think of this in terms of right? So if you have three subsystems, then the way that they can be entangled is just so non-trivial. It's not expressible in terms of.
This says that it's going to be difficult to deal with the family, but I don't see the relation to what I said. Okay, but what about purification?
Well, all of this could also be viewed in a purified function. Would it be that
Well, first of all, there would be some of the problems will remain. Classical versus quantum problem will disappear, but you will get a different problem for a different direction, which is clearly there are systems which behave more classically than others. And in your description, there is no distinction between such systems. So yeah, it's possible to just deal with all of the systems as if they behave quantumly, but that just doesn't really take into account some effect that we actually think that we see.
No, I'm not saying it's all the problem.
No, it's not just one problem. I think it's not just one problem. I think that the problem lies in the fact that we define mixed state entangled. Maybe the problem lies in the fact that we don't really understand what is it that we want to define. Why do we think of mixed state entanglement as a quantum resource? If we cannot really say, all these things basically say that there is a problem with viewing mixed-state entanglement as a quantum resource. What is it that we want to define by mixed-state entanglement?
I don't understand your second point there. Where I think you were saying that if you have a density matrix, then it's very dangerous to say that therefore we have with a certain probability a certain constraint. Right. What exactly is it that makes it dangerous?
What is it exactly that makes it impossible?
Uh-huh.
Well, imagine. Complicated exactly. What makes it wrong, basically, is it's sort of going one step further from the fact that we all know that it's wrong to say in this superposition that the quantum system is in this state with probability 1/2 or whatever squared. Right? It's not with probability, it's in some superposition.
So you said you're considering the pure state now.
Okay. We all quantum physicists, quantum computer scientists, we all understand the following fact that classical scientists maybe have hard times with, which is that this superposition is different from a mixture. Okay, this is sort of rate A. Okay? But we seem to have hard time given the second thing, which we have to give up, I think, which is that in a density matrix, it's wrong to say that the system is in some probability in one of its members of the mixture. So if we have a density matrix that's realized by alpha I pi, and then it can also be realized by pi beta I, for example, or by whatever.
With different pi's.
Well, actually, not even. I mean, it could be with the same pi's. It's wrong to say that the system is with probability pi in alpha I, because what is this?
But is it wrong philosophically, or is it wrong for practical purposes too?
It's not wrong. It's not wrong. What do you mean practical purposes? It's not wrong experimentally. It will predict the statistics correct, but I'm saying there is no meaning for it philosophically, and from this fact that it's doing. And I think that from this sort of philosophical problematic way of thinking about mixtures, one can be mistakenly led to, for example, using the definition of mixed state entanglement in cases where there is no meaning for the mixture.
Right. So what you're saying is that if you say that with probability pi, you will get the right predictions for all the measurements if you assume that the system is in pure state alpha I, that statement is correct. But if you say that with durability I, the system is in state alpha I, that would be going too far.
It would be going too far because it leads, I mean, you can use that as long as, as you're using statistics, but it seems to wrong intuitions. That's what the point is.
So Lulith, there is another interpretation of a mixed state, right, that in terms of the weight it assigns to every vector. So every mixed state assigns some weight to every vector. I mean, by weight I mean like bra, v, rho, ket, v.
Okay.
And given any weight function to all vectors, which satisfies some properties, there exists a unique quantum state corresponding to it.
Okay.
So I'm wondering whether this functional interpretation is useful in the quantum state.
I don't
know.
I haven't thought about it. Right?
Maybe early on mentioned dynamics instead of a state. So when we think about entanglement in some intermutation, we think about we have a state and we just pass the state to somebody else and we can extract some correlation and something. And given entanglement, you have a different kind of correlation that we know in the classical world, so you can extract it and potentially you can do some neat things. But when we think about computation, were we thinking about it going from one state to another? So should we really kind of look at the difference between classical computing and quantum computing on the dynamics of what we can do with that device instead of thinking about what the state is at a fixed amount of time and therefore something like entanglement?
So what would be the answer to the question, to the open question here? That it's not interesting or that it's the fact that
so I would say we cannot simulate a quantum computer when we use an evolution which doesn't have a classical counterpart. Now you know, say when is this true? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying obviously we can simulate this whenever we have a meaning to the mixture, meaning whenever we have a well-defined mixture defined by a fact that's entangled to a classical system on the side, then we can simulate it. But whenever we don't have, then there's no meaning to talk about it. Yeah, that's sort of the easy way out of it, saying, okay, there's no meaning to the question. But then what you're saying, which may be a possible answer, is to say there's no meaning to mixed state entanglement when we don't know the mixture. There's only meaning to mixed state entanglement when you're talking about a particular mixture, but not when you're talking about density matrices for which you don't know the mixture. And that basically goes pretty far. That says essentially that there is no, you can't assign a meaning of a physical resource to mixed state entanglement because it's a physical resource. It should be possible to assign it to a physical system in some density matrices.
What I would like to assign as a resource in computation is unitary transformation that you're using, or whatever transformation that you're using, not the state itself. And say, whatever state you have, if you have a really kind of interesting unitary transformation, it will do something and it will call physics. A computation, and maybe the classical world is not able to simulate that transformation.
That's a different thing. It's not. That is very specific to computation,
and
goes away. I can argue about that, but including it belongs here. So the question of whether we should measure resources by the state or by the quality of the state or by the properties of the actual gate, I think it's a different matter.
Are there any further questions? Well, thanks for reading.